From Spark and Anvil and Figure Forge, this is Fairy and Ripple in Chapter 1 of the Figure Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The word workshop, a quiet haven of crisp paper, warm tea, and the faint, sweet scent of chalk dust, was bathed in the late morning sun. Long, dusty bars of light slanted through tall windows, illuminating motes that danced in the air. A sturdy round table commanded the center of the room, and upon its polished surface lay a folded note. This mysterious missive had been slipped under the workshop door an hour earlier, left without a knock or a signature. Gathered around the table, the cast of characters awaited their new challenge. Fairy, a small otter tween with chunky, soft brown fur and a bright orange life vest, stood at one end. The vest, a bit too large, had straps that puffed out like nascent wings, and she rocked gently from one foot to the other. This rhythmic swaying was her familiar habit when deep in thought, a subtle current of anticipation. Across from her, Ripple sat with an elegant stillness. A pond skater tween, her long, slender legs rested lightly on the floor, while a small, shallow pond disc sat on her workbench. A single, perfect drop of water shimmered at its center, a testament to Ripple's preference for things that began small and then gracefully expanded. "Open it," Fairy said, her voice a quiet ripple of command. "Slowly," Ripple advised, her tone a soft counterpoint. Not a creature of many wiggly arms, carefully unfolded the note. The paper felt thick and substantial beneath his digits, and the handwriting, though unfamiliar, was remarkably precise. The message itself was brief, comprising only two lines of text. Line 1, "My grandmother's hands are soft brown maps." Line 2, "My grandmother's hands are like soft brown maps." Not read the lines aloud, his voice a low murmur in the quiet room. He paused, then read them again, allowing the words to settle. Finally, he placed the note precisely between Fairy and Ripple. Two lines, Nod observed, his gaze moving between the two. Almost identical. Just one small word has been exchanged. The case asks us to determine which line carries more weight. Fairy's rocking ceased abruptly. Her whiskers, fine as spun silk, twitched once, a tiny tremor of recognition. Ripple leaned forward, her long, soft legs barely shifting, her attention fixed on the note. On her pond disc, the solitary drop of water seemed to tremble, mirroring the sudden tension in the air. "It's mine," Fairy stated, her voice barely a whisper, yet imbued with an undeniable certainty. "And mine," Ripple replied, her tone equally soft, equally resolute. A quiet understanding passed between the assembled cast. Two distinct characters, a single enigmatic note. Two lines that, despite their near identical phrasing, clearly belonged to each of them. The case, it seemed, would have to be divided.
Fairy was the first to claim the note, pulling it gently toward her side of the table. She tapped the first line with a delicate claw. "My grandmother's hands are soft brown maps," she read aloud, her voice small but firm, carrying the weight of conviction. "That line belongs to me. That's metaphor. There's no middle word, no softening agent. The hands and the maps are presented as the same thing. It's a direct equation. X is Y. You step from one side to the other, and you don't even notice the gap in between." She tapped her bright orange vest, the fabric rustling softly. "That's precisely why I carry this boat. My purpose is to ferry meaning across. The reader boards at the bank of grandmother's hands and disembarks at the bank of soft brown maps. They don't pay a fare. They don't feel the crossing itself. They simply arrive at the new understanding." Nott scratched his head with one of his wiggly arms, a gesture of mild confusion. "But hands aren't actually maps, are they?" "That's exactly the point," Fairy explained, her voice gaining a passionate edge. "When you declare something is something else, you aren't lying. You're asserting that the two things share a profound feeling, a deep connection. Think about it. Old, kind hands often have wrinkles that resemble roads. They might have brown spots like tiny islands, or lines that trace paths like rivers. The entire shape of a hand can tell the story of where someone has been. A map, after all, is a record of all the places she's gone. So when I say her hands are maps, I am saying her hands are her entire life story, etched onto her skin. Fairy's voice wavered slightly, the emotion of her explanation catching in her throat. She rocked once, a quick, involuntary movement, then visibly steadied herself. "Metaphor is the brave one," she declared, her voice firm once more. "It doesn't equivocate with kind of like. It says a resounding yes. That directness makes it heavy, requiring true intent. That's why I always proceed slowly, because once the reader steps onto the boat, they place their trust in the crossing. If the metaphor is flawed, they fall in, and the meaning is lost." Hum, who had been quietly sketching, scribbled a final detail onto her drawing pad. She then held up the pad, revealing a small boat. Inside, two passengers sat side by side on the bench, a pair of hands and a folded map, both rendered with equal size and importance. Fairy whiskers twitched in appreciation, and her ears turned a soft shade of pink. "That," Fairy said softly, her gaze fixed on the drawing, "is precisely the boat."
Ripple then gently slid the note across the table, placing one of her long, soft front legs delicately on line two. She never pressed hard, her touch always light and considered. "My grandmother's hands are like soft brown maps," she recited. The word "like" received a subtle, almost imperceptible emphasis in her voice, just enough to highlight its significance without overstating it. "That line is mine," Ripple explained. "That's simile. The middle word, like, or sometimes as, performs the crucial work. These two things remain distinct entities. The reader doesn't board a boat for a direct crossing. Instead, the reader stands on the bank and looks across the space between them." Ripple carefully touched the single drop of water on her pond disc. The drop, disturbed by her touch, spread outward into a perfect expanding ring. That first ring then widened into another, softer circle. "Simile ripples," she elucidated. "The first thing, grandmother's hands, remains at the very center. The next ring suggests kind of like a map. It's almost a map, but not quite identical. The reader holds both images in their mind simultaneously, hands and maps, existing side by side." Nott looked intently at the spreading rings on the pond disc. "Why would you want a softer version of the same idea?" he inquired. Ripple offered a gentle smile. "Because softness creates room. If I say her hands are like maps, the reader thinks, yes, I see the wrinkles are kind of like roads, but they also recognize, and not exactly. Her hands are still hands. The reader gets to retain her grandmother as she is and appreciate the comparison." Fairy watched from across the table, her expression thoughtful rather than critical. She was simply listening, absorbing Ripple's perspective. "Sometimes," Ripple continued, her voice calm and steady, "the writer isn't quite ready to declare is. Sometimes the feeling is too vast, too overwhelming to step directly into. Simile allows the reader to approach it slowly, gradually. Like is like a porch. You can stand on it, look out at the view, and you don't have to come inside if you're not ready. It's a gentle way to share a profound or difficult feeling." From his corner, Mask emitted a soft sound that was not quite a laugh, more a dry acknowledgement. "So Fairy is the front door, and Ripple is the porch." "Yes," Ripple confirmed, and Fairy, after a brief, thoughtful pause, echoed, "Yes."
Nott cleared his throat, directing their attention back to the note. "So the case asks which line means more, but you both claim the line is yours. So which line actually means more?"
Fairy and Ripple exchanged a long, silent look across the table. Then, in a synchronized movement, Fairy slid the note to the exact middle of the table, and Ripple nudged her pawn disc to meet it. The solitary drop in the pan trembled, poised.
"Neither," Fairy stated, her voice clear and decisive.
"Both," Ripple added, her tone equally firm. Hum stopped her drawing, her pencil hovering above the pad. Nott uncrossed one of his many arms, a gesture of surprise. Mask leaned forward, his usual stillness broken by curiosity.
"It's not a competition," Fairy explained, her gaze encompassing them all. Line one and line two aren't adversaries. They are a pair, different sides of the same truth. She tapped her orange vest once more. The writer chose me when they wanted the reader to arrive, to be right inside the feeling, with no porch, no window, just here, now. And they chose me, Ripple added, when they wanted the reader to approach, to do so slowly, with ample room to step back if needed, with space to keep grandmother as grandmother, and the map as a map, and the comparison as a soft, inviting idea between them. Fairy nodded in agreement. Both lines convey the same fundamental truth, that an old, kind woman's hands carry the story of a whole life. But Ripple's version whispers, "Come closer," and mine declares, "You're already here." A skilled writer keeps both of us in their pocket. Some days they need a fairy, other days they need a ripple. Ripple gently touched the drop on her pawn disc, and it spread outward in a final, graceful expansion. "That's the essence of how figurative language works," she concluded. "We aren't different cases vying for supremacy. We represent different distances, different approaches to the same profound meaning."
Nott carefully folded the note, smoothing the thick paper with his hands, then placed it back onto the table. "Then the case is solved," he announced, a note of satisfaction in his voice. "There is no better line. There's a fairy day, and there's a ripple day. The writer simply chooses the day that best suits their purpose." Mask offered a rare, genuine grin. Hum, meanwhile, had begun a final, comprehensive sketch on her pad. The drawing depicted a wide river. On one bank lay grandmother's hands, intricately detailed. On the opposite bank rested a folded brown map. Above the water, Fairy, in her small boat, rowed steadily from one side to the other, her journey free of charge. Below the water, Ripple stood on the near bank, her long, soft legs immersed in the shallows. She wasn't crossing. She was looking, observing, as the ripples from her feet spread outwards in soft, ever-widening rings. Hum held up the drawing for everyone to see. "This," she declared, "is the case." Fairy rocked once, a subtle, satisfied sway. Her whiskers twitched. "Put it on the wall," she said, her voice quiet but firm. Ripple smiled, touching her pawn disc one last time. "Yes," she agreed. "Put it where the new visitors can see it clearly." Outside, the sun had shifted, its trajectory carrying it lower in the sky. The dusty bars of light on the table had grown longer, stretching across the room. Somewhere down the hallway, a door creaked open. Footsteps approached, followed by a small, hesitant voice asking for the word workshop. The cast looked up, their attention now focused on the door. A new case was undoubtedly coming. Fairy instinctively pulled her life vest a little tighter, adjusting the straps. Ripple lifted her pawn disc, holding it carefully. The single drop in its center was still trembling, poised and ready to spread. "Together?" Fairy asked, her gaze meeting Ripple's. "Together," Ripple confirmed, a soft assurance. The two of them, the boat and the porch, the bold declaration and the gentle invitation, the is and the like, rose in unison, prepared to greet whoever was about to walk through the door.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Fairy and Ripple. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.